Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. I figured the best way to start the show out today was with the forecast. For Columbus and Central Ohio, today widespread snow showers, areas of blowing snow, snow accumulation 1 to 2 inches, high of 28. Tonight, cloudy, areas of blowing snow in the evening, numerous snow showers mainly in the evening, additional snow accumulation of an inch or less, and a low of 22. Welcome to Central Ohio, circa 2010, I guess. Most winters, it never gets, never feels like this. And even if we do get this much snow over the course of the winter, it's spread out a lot more. Joining us on the show right now for a few minutes is Rick Tilton. He is assistant director of in the Department of Public Safety for the city of Columbus. He's the guy that you talk to when you want to talk about why isn't my street plowed. Welcome to the show, Rick.
Hello, Ann.
Why aren't all the streets plowed right now?
Well, we are working hard. We have a snow plan in the city of Columbus, and we begin with the freeways we're responsible for, 315 south of 161 and routes 33 and 104 plus the arterials. Those are the ones we've been working on throughout the day, yesterday, last night, and into day today. We were gang plowing on those arterials and those freeways overnight. We had something in the vicinity of 59 trucks out working that. So we have more than 2,000 linear miles of roadway that we're responsible for. That's equivalent to a straight line between Columbus and Las Vegas. So there's a lot of streets to work. It's a big job, and our snow warriors, they're working 12-hour shifts, and they're doing great work.
When you talk about the 2,000 linear miles of roadway, is that including the side streets and that sort of thing?
That's everything that's within the city of Columbus that we're responsible for maintaining. That includes those freeways, State Route right. 315 and such.
And how much major roadway are you responsible for? By 315? I mean, how many miles?
Don't have a mile count on those arterials, but we're talking roadways like High Street, Main Street, Broad Street, Morse Road, and the like.
Now, why can't you get to maybe do a main arterial and then, come on, to go do a few side streets? Why doesn't that work in your plan?
Because we do this in a very systematic way. The arterials are high-volume traffic, high-speed roadways. Then you go down to the collector streets, which are next on the list. They are a little bit higher speed and higher volume of traffic than the residential streets. So those are more likely to experience accidents that could result in injury or even death. So we wanted to make those streets safe first, and then we'll move into the residentials if we do that and we have at least 4 inches of snow on the ground. And of course, in this case, we do, and we are now working as fast as we can to get to the residential streets.
How long have the crews been on now?
They have been out on this storm since a little over 24 hours now. They started right about 9 o'clock, 8:30 yesterday morning, just before the snow started, and they've been working nonstop since.
Now, I've noticed, at least where I live and sometimes on the OSU campus, I see like salt trails, the liquid salt. Does the city do any of that?
Yes, that's what you're seeing is brine.
I guess it's not liquid salt, right?
Yes. Yeah. We will pre-treat the streets often with brine. Yesterday, because it was so cold, we did not pre-treat with brine. Another thing, though, with the two previous storms we just experienced with that excess salt that's already on the ground, that really acts sort of as a pre-treatment because there is residual salt there to help us out.
How many lots of folks wonder, why can't you just hire more plowers? Why can't you hire and rent more plows? Or why can't there just be more during a big winter like this?
We'd love to do that, but you have to think in terms of the larger city budget. Also, the people who we would be hiring to do these snowstorms, extra snowstorms during the winter, they wouldn't have anything else to do for the rest of the year. Also, those extra trucks, they would likely be sitting idle for the rest of the year. Then you get into the budget. The city of Columbus right now still is on a maintenance budget, maintaining city services, trying to restore some things like some recreation centers reopening after the passage of Issue 1. But when you think in terms of the bigger picture within public service, which includes clearing roads of snow, refuse pickup and such. You look at the bigger picture, that's a lot of money to be expending on trucks. And if we hire more people, of course, we have to pay salaries and benefits. And again, for the rest of the year, they wouldn't have anything to do.
You know, you mentioned a refuse pickup. How does a storm like this affect refuse pickup? Oh, if you can't get down those side streets, say like a place like Clintonville, well, a lot of it's even in the alleys.
Well, those big trucks, those big refuse trucks have a little bit more weight and traction, so they are out there right now doing their work. We had some of our employees come in later today at 10 o'clock, but among those who had come in at regular times, they were the refuse collectors. They were out there working, and they'll be out there throughout the day. So using those larger trucks with a little bit better traction and a little bit better weight than an average car is a plus for them. But they do have some challenges in working through the snow.
What can people do to help the city help them?
Well, of course, we'd like you to shovel your sidewalks and help out a neighbor, especially if you have an older neighbor or someone with some mobility issues. If you could help them out by shoveling their sidewalk. Also, when you're on the road, assured clear distance. Keep a little bit more distance between yourself and the car in front of you. If you're behind a snowplow truck, at least 100 feet behind, and do not pass the trucks as they're working, because a large truck like that cannot always see a smaller car. Also, we are under a level 2 snow emergency right now. Mm-hmm. Follow the rules for that. That's, of course, declared by the Franklin County Sheriff's Office. And when we do get to the residential streets, and we will get to the residential streets, please, if you do have a driveway, put your car in the driveway. If there's a parking lot nearby, please put the car there, so help us out so we don't plow you in.
Yeah, I was chagrined this morning. I mean, we have plenty of driveways in my neighborhood and wide streets, too, and people had their cars out in the streets that are usually never even there, and I couldn't understand. And sure enough, the plows have to go around them, so these very narrow lanes now where there should be plenty of space.
Yeah, and something else to explain for residents in the neighborhood. Our goal is to make the residential streets passable. We do one pass. We will plow, but we do not plow down to pavement. To get it down to pavement, you'd have to make 2 or 3 passes with a plow and salt. And given the budget that we have, we don't have the budget to do that. Again, the goal is to make them passable, not to get them down to pavement. So when people see snow on the street, that doesn't mean necessarily we have not plowed. What we can do, get some help from people, is if you think your street has not been plowed, please call 311. What I want to also add is that when you call 311, you do not get put on any list for your street to be plowed. There's no list of people that we have calls from saying, we will be out there at X time. We cannot estimate a time. We just will let you know that we are going to forward your information to the snow warriors that we think, that you think maybe your street has not been plowed. We'll check into it. We do have the new GPS system on all our trucks this year, so we'll check into it. And if it has not been plowed, after we get to the residential streets, we'll go back and work it.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Rick Tilton. He's the Assistant Director for the Department of Public Safety in the City of Columbus. Rick, are there some streets maybe in German Village and Clintonville that just can't fit a plow?
Well, there are some narrow streets, and that's why we do have these pickup trucks and tractors. Actually, we have of our trucks out right now, some of them are tractors, there's a couple of them. And those specifically we use for the narrow streets like in German Village, a pickup truck or a tractor. Essentially, it looks like a farm tractor with snowplow equipment on it. So we do use those trucks. German Village streets can be very tight, so we do have those trucks available. But again, on residential streets, we do not plow down to pavement. And with those brick streets, we are making the effort to be very careful. Some of our trucks are equipped with rubber tip blades.
If somebody calls 311, should they expect a response?
We will get to them as soon as possible. Again, keep in mind, 311 takes hundreds of calls every day. We will try to get them to them as soon as possible. We had some special hours this past Saturday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at 311, and we had over 300 requests. We looked into those. Maybe about 10% of them or so, we believe, or streets that had not been plowed, and we got about half of those done on Saturday. We did get requests, people saying, can you come back a second time on my residential streets? Again, we make one pass on the residentials just because of budget constraints and time constraints.
It seems like in the suburbs that they get the residential streets done faster. How do they do that?
That's because they don't have the volume of arterials that the city of Columbus does. They're very residential street oriented. They don't have lots of streets like High Street, mm-hmm. Broad Street, Main Street, Morse Road. We have a much, much, much higher volume. And, of course, we have a much larger area. We have an area of 227 square miles in Columbus. The closest city in Ohio to that would be Cleveland, 82 square miles. So the volume of area is much larger. The number of arterial streets that they need to go to, if they do have any, is much smaller. And if they do have a freeway, I believe Worthington has 315 between 161 and 270. Mm-hmm. But other than that, they don't have freeways to deal with. They don't have main arterials to deal with that we do. So that's why you see the vehicles, the plows in the suburban communities, which are much smaller, much sooner.
Yeah, by and large, the roads are wider as well.
Correct. And another thing that we did get some feedback from the northwest area of Columbus, those are newer streets. They're curvier. So it's going to take a little bit longer to get down there and work them. But again, when you have a city the size of Columbus with the main arterials and some of the freeways that we must work with, and we, of course, coordinate with ODOT and the county and the overall effort in Franklin County.
Now, I know that you've been around a long time, and you took this job knowing full well that there would be days like this.
Oh, yeah.
What are these days like? I mean, how many calls will you get on a day like this? What's the frustration level on a 1 to 10, a scale of 1 to 10?
Most of the calls do go to 311. I get a handful of calls, and there are cases in which people do not understand they need to call 311. And I understand people's frustration. We're working as fast as we can, We just ask that you bear with us. I know it's frustrating. I know some people are angry about it, but we are working as fast as we can, as hard as we can, to get to your streets. The emphasis is let's get these arterials and freeways, and then the collector streets done as soon as possible because of the higher volumes of traffic. If the snow holds off today, if we don't get any more snow, we will be able to start working into the collector streets, but we're really at the mercy of the weather right now.
I just have a few more questions, and I know you have to go. Are there any other problems besides the plowing issue, water mains, anything like that, anything else falling apart because of the weather?
Well, of course, our Department of Public Utilities handles water mains, mm-hmm. and you're going to have that every winter between December and February and March with the colder temperatures. Mm-hmm. That's when you have a higher rate of water line breaks. But in terms of what we're doing, we just need some help from folks, especially we get into the residentials. Please get your car off the street if mm-hmm. you can, and it'll be a big help.
One more question. How long have these guys been on the road now over the winter? When's the last break they had?
Oh, gosh, I think if you just get these last three storms now, the first one started on Friday, February 5th. Their only day off has been this past Sunday, and that's it. They have been going nonstop, working 12-hour shifts. So it's been a big job. We did add this year a swing shift between 3:30 p.m. and 3:30 a.m. to cover evening rush hour. So that's helped a little, but mm-hmm. these guys, they're working 12-hour shifts. And again, one day off since February 5th, and then we had storms before that. So they've been busting their tails out there and doing a great job.
Okay, Rick, I know you have to go. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
This is Rick Tilton, Assistant Director of the Department of Public Safety for the City of Columbus. We're going to have to take a short break, and then we'll take your calls. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Start your day with local updates from the award-winning WOSU news team.
Honestly, about 45 minutes ago, we just signed an option for the Delphi site behind us.
Wilmot's announcement on West Broad Street ends, for now, the fight over an Arena District casino.
Hear the latest in local and national news with Morning Edition on WOSU 89.7 FM.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News. 23 degrees in downtown Columbus. Widespread snow showers today. Areas of blowing snow and an accumulation of 1 to 2 inches this afternoon and a high of 28 degrees. Cloudy tonight and still windy with areas of blowing snow this evening. And snow showers are likely mainly in the evening. An additional accumulation of around another inch and a low of 22 degrees. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on WOSU 820.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're talking about the snowstorm, and joining me now is Beth Berkemer with COTA. Hi, Beth.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Busy?
Absolutely.
What's keeping me on my toes today.
Now,
right now, COTA has their passengers ride free today, right?
Absolutely. Once a level 2 snow emergency is declared by the Frank County Sheriff, we do provide free rides to any passengers all day. Even if it goes back to a level 1, you know, the fares will remain free for the entire day.
Okay. I wondered about that. What do you do to clear out the bus stops and make sure that there's a safe place for people to stay? Because sometimes I see them kind of standing on snowbanks.
Yeah, no, we have a great street and remote crew that, you know, we prep them. They're very prepared for these situations when it when they see this weather coming. We make sure we have increased staff available. You know, they have the trucks and the plows ready to go and make sure that their supplies of salt are ready. And you know, it's a tough job for them, but they're really good about it. We do have 4,300 bus stop locations and 379 passenger shelters to keep on top of. So it's quite a job.
Yeah. How many buses are out there today?
Well, we have a fleet of 295 buses, but at any point in time, we really have about 245, 250 buses out there.
And you have the same number on a day like today?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We try our hardest to make sure that, you know, we have a complete staff here, if not more, to be ready to take out all the buses, serve all the routes, and really try to maintain the normal schedule.
A lot of people complain that they can't get to their bus even because the sidewalks aren't plowed. Do they call you to complain about that?
You know, sometimes we do hear about that through our customer service center, and it's just a matter of what people know, you know, who's supposed to be, you know, in charge of cleaning those sidewalks and things.
How do the buses handle the streets where they're, you know, the secondary routes that are get less attention at this point in the game?
Oh, well, we have road warriors out there too.
Oh, of your own?
Yeah, in a sense, our drivers are. Oh, you know, they do this. They do this every day for, you know, living. They're great drivers. And this is the third time this year that they've come across this kind of weather, and they're experienced, and they've been trained in it. They handle it really, really well.
How do they handle the other cars on the road, people plowing around them and that kind of thing? What is helpful to the bus drivers?
Well, they're very aware of these situations. They're on alert. They're very defensive drivers. You know, sometimes cars slip and slide and things happen, but it's usually very, very minor situations because everybody out there is pretty much being careful. And, you know, our bus drivers, again, they're experiencing these situations and they're prepared to be very alert to any possibilities.
Does the ridership actually go up on a day like today?
It can, but not really. You know,
do you think people just don't know?
People don't have to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot of people that don't have to work.
Okay.
And so the ridership is going to go down a little bit just from that. We do try to disseminate our message as much as we can make that information available for everybody to take the bus. We consider this a great alternative for people because we have experienced drivers. And if you're uncomfortable driving in this kind of weather, jump on a bus. We'll get you there.
Now, refresh my memory about the way to you could Twitter COTA and find out how things are running or find out how your bus is running. Is that just a pilot project somewhere, or is something you guys are fantasizing about? What's
no, we really don't have a okay. certain program going through Twitter right
okay.
now. You may be thinking of our texting, our pilot texting
yes,
service,
that's
but
it.
that is strictly. We have 65 stops around the campus area, and those stops have stop ID numbers, and you actually just text that stop ID number to 25252, and that's not a real-time service at this point in time. We hope within the year to be a real-time service, but that is actually just providing your next scheduled bus for that particular stop. If people really want to find out, a more precise kind of number or time for their different buses on different routes, their best option is to call our customer service line, 228-1776, and they'll try their hardest to really keep you informed. Again, it's if you have questions about particular routes and times, that's the place you want to go. But you also have to realize that today they're getting a lot more phone calls, so you're going to have to be very patient.
Okay. If you're just joining us, my guest is Beth Berkemer of COTA, Central Ohio Transit Authority. Beth, there was that big pileup on 71 yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Did that affect your service at all?
Well, it does slow us down. Yes, of course. I mean, we're going to deal with, we are driving in the same traffic as everybody else. So if traffic in general slowed down, we're slowed down. If there's a reroute, we have to reroute. And, you know, reroutes are determined by our professionals in our radio room. They know the streets and they know the routes. They're very familiar with everything, and they're able to do that real quickly for us.
Now, I thought I got an email this morning saying that the buses are running slower and maybe you don't have to get there right on time. Is that something people should plan, or should they try to get there on time and just hope for the best?
Well, we always recommend be there on time. You know, it's a crazy day, and you never know what you're going to come across. For example, our routes 1, 2, and 10, those account for 50% of our ridership, and those are heavily used routes. We have buses going every 5 or 10 minutes, and those, we're not really experiencing much delay. If there's a delay, it's just a few minutes, 3, 4, 5 minutes, but they're really running on time right now. Now, when you get to routes that aren't quite as frequent, and they go through curvier roads or more narrow roads or roads that haven't maybe had the most attention when it comes to plowing, it will delay them. Again, they know what they're doing, and they will get you there, but they're also being very careful. We got 35, 40-foot buses we have to maneuver, and, they're going to be a little bit late. Now, some of our routes, there are a few that are running 20, 25 minutes behind schedule. Mm-hmm. But that's a few, and the average is 20, 25 minutes. Now, it could be more depending, just on the bus at that point in time on that route,
right.
But it's really just about 20, 25 minutes.
Is there a way people can find out if their bus is running that far behind?
Again, best bet would be to call our customer service line, 228-1776, or if they have access to the internet, they can go to COTA, www.cota.com, and we have a real-time map available on our website that you can actually pick a route, and it will refresh every minute or so, and it'll show you where the buses are located on those routes.
Okay, I don't know if this is applicable, but what can riders do to help the buses run on time?
What is that again?
What can the riders do to help?
Just be ready to go. Be at your bus stop again. Expect things to be on time. Have your fare. Well, actually, you don't have to have your fares ready.
That's
it's free
right.
today.
That's easy. Yeah,
it's free today, and. When your bus is just normal routine, that's the best you can do.
Okay. All right. Beth Berkemer of the Central Ohio Transit Authority, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That was Beth Berkemer of the Central Ohio Transit Authority. We're going to move on to some phone calls and maybe some emails. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820. Rod, you're on the air. You wanted to talk about cul-de-sacs.
Yes. I was hoping to talk to the gentleman from the city earlier, you know, to
right.
see if they would plow out the cul-de-sacs.
Do they not usually?
I know that I haven't seen a plow here in, the 10 years that I've lived here on this one. I live on a cul-de-sac with some apartments, and like I said, we never see a plow.
Is it possible? I don't know. Do they plow apartment complexes? I don't know.
Well, this is a public street.
Okay.
So, you know, I would think that they should plow it. Anyway, you know, I wanted to ask a couple things, too, while we were on there. You know, I was asking, you know, ask motorists to please be patient with bicyclists and pedestrians. You know, right now, the bike paths aren't available for use. You know, they're snow covered. And the sidewalks are also snow covered. And in fact, in some cases, and this is kind of a pet peeve, some of the plows, the private plows, pile up the snow, by the side, where the sidewalk is. So that, you know, that's another obstacle that people have to get over. Ask people to please shovel their sidewalks and not to block the sidewalks, where they know that there are sidewalks.
You know, there's still people out there that do have to ride their bikes today. You can get COTA for free, though.
Mm-hmm.
But I know people, you know, sometimes that's the only form of transportation they have.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen very many people out on bikes lately?
I've seen a few, not too many.
But I see tracks on the bike. You know, I see the tracks. I've never actually seen them, but they're out there somewhere. Okay, well, Rod, thanks a lot for your call.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Lorena, you're on there. You want to talk? You're a school bus driver.
Yes, I am, for Columbus City Schools.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering, why aren't the side streets as important as Main Street? That's where children catch their school buses.
Yeah.
If streets aren't plowed, it's dangerous for them. And school buses don't even have snow tires and get stuck on unplowed streets.
Right.
And as a school bus driver, I don't know why they have buses traveling unplowed side streets. It's dangerous.
Yeah, you know, Rick Tilton from the city was telling us that if they don't get the main roads done, the side roads don't matter because you'll have, you know, they want to put the where the most traffic is, that's where they need to plow first. I'm sorry, we're losing you, Dorina.
What'd you say?
Lorena. Rick Tilton from the city of Columbus said that they need to get the main roads done first because if those aren't done, the side roads won't matter.
Okay. Well, my question to you is, when do you think the side streets will even be started?
He said if there's no more snow or negligible snow between now and tomorrow, they'll be starting on them tomorrow.
Okay. And how does that affect, driving?
Tomorrow? He said it's just a matter of they just start prioritizing. Oh, I guess she got cut off. Okay. Well, I think we have Ben Gelber on the line. Ben?
Hi, Ann. How are you?
Hi. Good. From NBC4, meteorologist. I'm okay. How are you?
Pretty good. A little cold and snowy and tired, like everybody else.
Yeah. What are these days like for you? How do they change your lifestyle?
Well, my schedule has been not quite round the clock, but most days wind up being about 12-plus hours, some of which is spent outside covering the snow, working with a photographer to gather video, portion of the day anchoring and analyzing the weather. And my hardest part is probably the fact that my shift continues to rotate through. So I may work a noon to midnight and then come back and work a 4 a.m. to 2 or 3 p.m., depending upon the nature of the storm, because we're kind of like doctors on call. You have to work through the storm before you get a break. But I will get a break here this afternoon.
So you can relate to those plows, the guys driving the plows.
Yeah, well, they work harder, but I've actually done stories with the plow drivers and with ODOT and the city and county exactly on the pressure and stress, and I've ridden in trucks. It's amazing what they have to do and how critical their job is. Mine is a little bit more analytical, I guess, and just conveying, hopefully, ideally, ahead of time with enough warning when these storms are going to come through, so In fact, I talked to the city ODOT and the county before the storms arrived to give them a heads up, maybe 2 or 3 days out, that if we even see a potential storm, and then we kind of I refine the forecast so they can help allocate personnel and they kind of plan ahead.
Yeah, ultimately, though, you can't start plowing until the snow starts falling.
Yeah, and when it all comes at once, and if it's a rush hour, yeah, that's very true. And at these cold temperatures, it's difficult sometimes for the salt to activate. They use the calcium chloride treatment. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. Most of it is timing. As the storm begins on a weekend when there are fewer cars on the road or at the right time, crews can get a little ahead of the game. But even when we know a storm is coming, if it hits right square smack dab in the middle of a busy time of the day during a work week, it's always going to be problematic.
If you're joining us right now, my guest is Ben Gelber of NBC4. He's a meteorologist. He's on the phone to talk about the weather. So how about those winds and more snow today? What should we be looking forward to?
Well, what we've seen, Ann, are snow bands and snow showers, what we call the old wraparound effect. So the storm has departed, but it gives us a few parting gifts because winds are northwesterly. We have additional moisture coming off Lakes Huron in Michigan and Lake Erie to some extent to the east. But you get like spokes on a wheel, you get little disturbances that pivot around what we'll call the big cold vortex over eastern Canada and continues to add further lift to the residual moisture in the air. And so you get kind of a constant spray of snow showers and flurries every once in a while. A band of accumulating snow like we had this morning will roll through and give you a fresh inch. So we'll probably see just constant flurries and maybe a period of steadier snow now and then, and pick up perhaps another inch during the afternoon and evening with winds of 20 to 25, especially in rural areas, a lot of blowing and drifting. But gradually, winds will diminish a little bit over the next few days. However, we'll continue to see snow showers, I think, every day this week. Remember, we had that 18-day stretch, which was a record from late December through the first couple of weeks of January, 18 straight days where some cases it was just flurries, some cases accumulating snow, but consecutive days with snow in the air, and it's kind of the same pattern. It's kind of unrelenting.
Well, where do we stand in the record books right now?
Well, we're approaching 2 feet for the month of February. The record is 29 inches set back in 1910, and we had generally 26 to 28 inches for the month of February in 2003. We had our last Valentine's Day / President's Day snowstorm, and that's when we had some comparable snow depths as well. For the season, the record 67 inches. We still we're in the 40s, depending upon how much more snow we get. So we have a ways to go on that. We need like a couple more big snows to even get close to 1909, 1910. But for February, if we get a couple of more snows, I think we'll certainly want it for the top five and maybe have a shot at the all-time snowiest February. And the other amazing thing, Ann, the snow depth, which is the undrifted, just accumulating snow. For example, in Hilliard, I have an 18-inch backyard snow depth, which is actually an inch more than my previous record in February 2003 after that long snowy weekend.
Yeah.
This is about, especially for, say, the northern and western suburbs, about as much snow as we've seen on the ground probably since January 1978. So that really says a lot. And three.
That was the big one.
That was the big one. Although that storm was only 6 to 8 inches of snow here, but we had a lot on the ground going in, and then we had the monster drifts and much worse conditions, if that's possible. But, yeah, way worse than this.
Yeah, I was up in Michigan then, and it was, I think, like 24 inches.
That's correct.
But it's still relative because it's all what you're used to ultimately. You know, back in 2003, another thing about that storm, it hit over the weekend for one thing, and for another, it melted right away.
Well, we held on to that one for a while. But,
did we?
You're right. Yeah, the March storm of 2008 melted pretty fast.
Okay.
When we also had about 20 inches of snow.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that one melted quickly. But first of all, February, the storm that in 2003 began on Valentine's Day, ended on President's Day, and that was pretty bad. I mean, we had 15 to 20 inches of snow. Schools were closed for the better part of the week. It didn't open the day after President's Day, and it wasn't until the end of the week. Rural areas had an ice storm across southern Ohio that was devastating. Folks were without power for about a week to a week and a half in extreme cases. And we had snow totals of 20 to 25 inches in a corridor from Lancaster over to about Monroe County in extreme eastern Ohio. So that was actually a worse storm. This really is the accumulation of three storms that essentially come about to where we were with that one in 2003. Now, 2008 was a solo storm, which also brought 15 to 20 inches of snow all in one lump sum, and that was our record for intensity snow. We had, I think, about 19 inches in 24 hours. So most of the 20.5 inches that fell at the airport was a little over 24 hours, but a few days later, a lot of that shrunk, and because it was March, and so that was but we've had some, we joke about, the good old days when we were all younger and telling our kids we used to know a lot more, but this generation has seen several major snowfalls and snowy months in the last 7 or 8 years that rival some of the best that we've had way back in the mid-20th century.
So we'll have to tell our grandkids about it.
Yeah, we'll have to snow somebody on this.
There's got to be something good we get out of it. We have to take a quick break right now. My guest is Ben Gelber for NBC4. If you have any questions for Ben, give us a call at 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
On Wednesday, February 17th at 8 p.m. on WOSU-TV, in the second of a three-part series, join acclaimed scholar Dr. Henry Gates as he explores the faces of America. Gates looks beyond the black experience to the wider immigrant experience when he unravels the American tapestry, following the threads of his guests' lives back to their earliest origins around the globe. Watch Faces of America this Wednesday night on WOSU-TV.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News. Thanks for joining us. In 20 minutes at 11 o'clock, we'll hear about student debt in Ohio and the United States and President Obama's proposal for student loan reform. That discussion begins at 11 o'clock right here on WOSU 820. 24 degrees in downtown Columbus, widespread snow showers with areas of blowing snow today, another accumulation of 1 to 2 inches this afternoon, cloudy tonight with more blowing snow this evening, and a little bit more snow in the evening as well, an additional snow accumulation of around an inch or less, and a low of 22 degrees tonight.
Support for WOSU comes from Thurber House, presenting Evenings with Authors guest Adriana Trigiani, reading from her latest novel, Brava Valentine, Wednesday, February 17th at the Columbus Performing Arts Center. Tickets at thurberhouse.org.
And there is a winter weather advisory in effect until 7 o'clock tonight. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on WOSU 820.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guest right now, Ben Gelber of NBC4. He's the meteorologist. I'm sure you recognize his voice. He's here to answer your questions about weather. If you have any, give us a call at 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. See, Ben, what's happening with this storm? It's like a big swirl, and it's moving northeast?
Yeah, actually, it's pivoting away from us, Ann. As you described, it was like a giant rotating eye. Essentially, it was like what we call an upper air low, and you get the bowling ball effect where it kind of spun for a while. So we continue to get bands of snow upwards of 8-9 inches yesterday through the overnight. Now, for example, Athens yesterday only had 2 inches because they were in the southeast or dry sector or slot of the storm. But that bowling ball is on the move now, which is good. It's now rolling across the Mason-Dixon line and will move off the East Coast later today with a surface reflection or surface storm off the East Coast as well. So now the snow is New York to Boston with lighter amounts across Pennsylvania and Ohio, back in Indiana and Michigan. So a lot of what we'll see now will be the residual lake effect snow showers. In fact, I'm standing outside to literally be out in the atmosphere, and skies are brightening up, the flurries have lightened up. I think now we'll get some breaks. It'll be a little bit easier to clear up. But the winds have picked up in the wake of the storm, as we expected, and it's getting kind of gusty. And this powdery snow is going to blow and drift, especially in the rural areas, quite a bit. So I'm afraid the plow drivers are going to be pretty busy for the next 24 hours, and then there'll still be some cleanup, I think, most of the week.
Well, yeah, because the residential roads, it hasn't seemed that windy to me, Ben. Really, I mean, if you look outside on your patio tables, they're just like frosting on a cake.
Yeah, what is that? We were sort of not quite in the eye of the storm, as a relative term, but we were essentially in its broad confines, something equivalent to the eye of a hurricane yesterday. So the winds are relatively light. What I would expect, and I'm, again, as I stand outside now in Hilliard, the winds are getting a little brisk, but nothing extreme, as you said. But I would suspect the winds will increase a little bit through the afternoon and evening hours to 20 to 25. But I think if you live in Marysville or Delaware or areas where winds are traditionally a little stronger to the north and west, it's going to get pretty blustery during the day. But those same winds will start to settle down a bit tomorrow and Thursday as the whole system pivots east-northeast. But still, there'll be snowflakes flying here and there. It's a true winter wonderland here in the middle of February. And this is way more snow than we're accustomed to seeing.
What is the record again for February?
It's just over 29 inches in 1910, and we were right behind that with about 26 inches. Again, these are official city totals. Obviously, other locations might be different. 26 in 2003. So for 2010 to break the record, we need another storm and a half, basically, I think, to do it. But we're crossing the 20-inch threshold and counting, and we'll be pretty close to 2003 here shortly. But we certainly need another moderate to heavy snowfall if we're going to go over the top. Some would say if we're this close to a record and we've already been through all this, we might as well just go after the record. I don't see any big storms on the horizon other than the dustings this week. There may be another storm at the end of the weekend. Computer model's not clear on the storm track yet. In fact, one model would even suggest a change to rain late Sunday into Monday. So, I mean, anything's possible, but we'll have several days to sort that out, I think, later this week, because sometimes we get hung up on when's the next storm, and we're forced into a bit of an uncomfortable position of looking at long-range models that, they're good educated guesses, but storm tracks will shift around a lot by the time we get to within a couple of days of the storm, so I don't want to speculate too much on the next one. But we'll keep our eye on late in the weekend.
I want to get to a couple of emails right now, Ben. They don't specifically address you, and I really appreciate you hanging on the phone with us because I have some more questions for you. But one of them calls me a saint, and, of course, I have to read that one. It's from Jason, and he says, "Ann, you are a saint to open your show up to the inevitable kvetching that is going on today." And, Jason, thank you. My gosh, someone's called me a saint in a long time. "I, for one," Jason writes, "value the city services we do have in Columbus and would be willing to pay additional money to get more services. But the fact is that the city budget is stretched. I hope all your listeners will give serious thought to the benefits of public services." And then from Angela, "I never left my house last week. My car was buried in a virtual igloo, but I put in 8 hours of work each day. I made it back to my Hilliard office yesterday morning, but I went home at lunchtime and haven't made it back since. Telecommuting is a godsend in weather like this. And I'm very fortunate to have a job that allows me to work from home." I do not, Angela, but I can appreciate what you're saying. It is nice. The more people that stay home, the easier it is for them to get those streets plowed. And we have an email from John. "Why does the Columbus snow plan never include doing anything about clearing sidewalks?" And that's never in capitals and anything in capitals. He writes, "I read a dispatch story from last Thursday indicating that Columbus never has enforced its law that requires property owners to clear their sidewalks. No one takes Columbus or any of the Columbus's suburbs seriously about clearing snow from their sidewalks. One-third of Ohioans don't have driver's licenses. All those people, as well as postal workers, school kids, transit riders, and many more people need to get around on foot." So, John's right. I mean, the law is you're supposed to shovel your sidewalk. That's the law. And they don't. I think he's probably right. They probably don't enforce it. There's a lot of stuff that doesn't get enforced. But it's called the scoff law type laws. But it is a big help. I think in our neighborhood, people with snowblowers usually help out the folks that don't have them. So that's just a hint to my friends who have snowblowers in my neighborhood. Ben, how many places do you measure the snow to come up with something like 10 inches?
Well, and that's it. Snow is actually, you think it's easy to measure, but of course it's not. And for climate records and statistics and weather history, you got to get it right. That's why, even with our spotters, I quiz them pretty hard on and give them tips. I mean, part of it is laying down the snowboard, which is a solid, usually like a white piece of plywood. So you get a level surface. Now, when it gets this deep, you might have to flag it so you know where you put it. because otherwise, and that even happened to me last night, it got buried and wasn't sure if I was tapping it or not. And you don't want to disturb the snow where you're trying to measure it, because that can create an improper measurement. But, yeah, the right way to do it is lay a snowboard down, then you got to worry about drifting. So you kind of get a sense of, you know, which surrounding area around your house, you know, is experiencing the least amount of drifting, or where the wind is blocked. And then, of course, you get away from bushes and trees and other things that impact, at least in certain snow, especially the milder snow events. You get some warmth from either the buildings or the bushes and things, so there's a little bit of a decline in snow total there, certainly away from pavement or asphalt or anything that absorbs heat. You want to be out in the yard, so to speak. But then, once you establish a sense of a relatively undrifted area, then you take a series of, up to about half dozen measurements to get a representative sample. And you'll start to find, as I find, you'll get kind of a recurring figure to some degree, which tells you what, and then a few outliers. And that gives you a pretty good idea of what you've got. But, yeah, there's a little bit of an art to this. And, some areas it's very hard, especially in the Blizzard 78, it was almost impossible to get accurate measurements because of the drifting. But try to find areas where, around the corner of the house where the wind is completely blocked off, and get a little bit away from the house. Watch that it doesn't include snow that fell off your roof. That's how you get a mismeasurement. Certainly away from where someone has jumped out, or snow blower that may augment total. So you have to kind of get out in the open a little bit and then see if certain recurring measurement shows up.
We have an email from Bev. If you'd like to email Ben, go to allsides@wosu.org. Bev says, weathermen used to say that it is very hard to predict snowfall times and amounts. I have noticed that predictions are much more accurate than in the past. Is my observation correct? If so, could you discuss the new technology that has made this possible?
Yeah, I think when I started back in the 1980s, I'm surprised we got even anything right, given the paucity of model data that we now rely on heavily. I think it's simply sampling the atmosphere more thoroughly, and no one computer model is always right anyway, so it's good to have a suite of models or an ensemble. So you can kind of, certain models have strengths and weaknesses in terms of positioning highs and lows and moisture content, and it's still, there's an art to this. You look at a lot of data, but you still have to make a subjective call. You don't rely specifically on maybe a single computer model or something that's cranked out, and you finesse it and massage the data, figuring out for urban heat island and for elevation or terrain factors that may cause some additional uplift in heavy snows. We saw with the wetter storm last week where the city had 8 to 10, but outlying areas had 10 to 15.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that was terrain-induced, and some of that was just a couple of degrees colder, given the same equal amounts of moisture. So that's the skill of forecasting that you hopefully get better at after doing it long enough. But we do have more models to choose from, I think, that really quantify, put some numbers to the amount of moisture available and where the best lift, dynamics, jet stream. There's so many things that factor in. It's not just what's happening at the surface. And then try to, gauge how much snow will fall. And the fact that we can do it many more days in advance and flag an incoming storm and then start to put some numbers to it. For example, late last week, the storm on paper, so to speak, didn't look that impressive, and computers kept it south. But when I came in Saturday, I noticed there was a bit of a lurch to the north, and I was talking about 4-inch-plus snows by Sunday. I shaded up to 6 inches for rush hour evening Monday, and another 2 to 3, and then of course the storm hit Monday and pretty much followed script, and we've had a fluffy 6 to 8 and 9 inches in some spots so far. So we can get ahead of these storms now with numbers, but there are some storms are much tougher to call, and there's no 100% accuracy by any means with especially snow forecasting, because you're got to gauge the amount of moisture, figure out will it be fluffy or a wetter snow, and then because that can come up with different ratios.
Mm-hmm.
You can get more, literally more bang for your buck when you get, we had 1/4 inch of precipitation and had 5 or 6 inches of snow, which is more than double the normal ratio because it was so dry. On another day, you can get 1/4 inch of liquid and only get maybe 2 inches of snow, given exactly the same amount of moisture. So you have to gauge the temperatures in the atmosphere, the humidity, and and adjust your snow forecast. It's not cut, you know, everything is,
yeah.
Each situation is different.
That's why we have you guys around.
Well, we still keep trying. We have, and I love the snow, of course. So, but it's a, again, part of this is the science. It's not just we love the snow because it's snowing, but just like those who study, you know, chase tornadoes, and it's not just to chase tornadoes. You're trying to understand the evolution of these weather systems and to be able to forecast and predict and maybe save lives. So, you know, the reasons why we go kind of crazy into the nuts and bolts of these storms and keep historical records and really analyze them in depth.
Ben, we're going to turn to Tom Borgerding of WOSU for a news update on the weather. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Okay, at any time, and drive carefully.
Okay, thanks, Ben. That's Ben Gelber of NBC4. He's a meteorologist. And in the studio with me right now, Tom Borgerding. What's going on out there, Tom?
Good morning, Ann. Well, the barometric pressure is going up, so people are getting back on the roads. I think, as Ben said, you know, this storm's pretty much behind us. And it's mostly cleanup and just recovery from what's going on. Of course, yesterday afternoon, we had that big backup on 71.
Well, what's the latest on that?
Well, the Highway Patrol took about 7 hours. There were people still 10 o'clock last night that were, you know, in a parking lot on 71. So it, more than 20 vehicles involved, and it took some time. Driving during the height of the storm yesterday was really when the accidents really piled up. And
well, how much this morning? What were we looking at?
Well, this morning, you know, the roads this morning about 3:30, even when I came in, a lot of the plow crews had been out at that point, and mm-hmm. The snow the roads definitely were passable. The thing this morning was that you know, the school buses couldn't get out to the side roads and things like that, so all the schools closed. And I was very surprised at Ohio State. Close today. It's rare that Ohio State closes its main campus. I mean, maybe two or three times in the last 30 years have they closed their main campus. And so at that point, it's, you know, it's pretty significant. The we're working on some stories today looking at snow as an economic stimulus.
Mm-hmm.
Mandy Trimble's out reporting. And, of course, we're keeping track of, you know, there weren't very big power outages at all. There were some power outages in Scioto County down near the Ohio River, but none really extensive in this storm. It was a real light snow, so we got away with it. So.
All right, we got away with it. We got away with another one. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Ann.
It's Tom Borgerding for WOSU. I just want to remind folks that passengers ride free today on COTA buses, so if you can't get your car out of the driveway but you can get to a bus stop, that might be an option for you. We're going to post those numbers, as many as we can find. They were mentioned today. If you have any problems, you can call 311. That's how you get to the city and tell them if your street is not plowed yet. Thanks for joining us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.